You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Market Watch is proudly brought to you by TopSport, home of the TopSport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Well, we can slay the fatted calf. The prodigal son has returned. Everyone should rejoice. How good is that? After a couple of, well, must have saved really productive weeks in the absence of Tristan Merlehan, he has returned. G'day, this is the Market Watch podcast, proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au. Fresh off a couple of two-week highs. Now we come back and no pressure. Tristan Merlehan, he's back. And, of course, Jared Conran here is... also from readingtheplay.com.au. Welcome back, T.
G'day, guys. And, yeah, you were telling me about the numbers being an all-time high, and I think that was something that you were trying to make it sound like people were listening more in my absence, but it was really just the crew in Ireland all listening in to try to critique so I could give some crucial feedback on the way through. So no, it was it's been a little break I've had, and good to be back. It's obviously a very interesting start to the rugby league, and we'll have to get onto PBL to get a bit more coverage over in Ireland because it's not as readily available as some of the other sports, but there's been a stack of injuries, and the less said about my Titans, the better, I think. But good to be back, boys.
Yes, very interesting couple of weeks, Tristan. The good thing is I did the shoey last week, so the big baseballer in the US, I've used the interpreter excuse for a couple of the lunch bets that I let slide through for Jimmy. We were feeling sorry for him. I did get your message that you thought the gap of 10 between top and bottom and Jimmy being at the base was a little bit too high. So Jimmy picked up 2 last week, which I'm sure he'll be about to tell us all about. But outside of that, you've just been sitting there patiently waiting to make your run, which I'm sure is not far away. And hopefully you're also far away from maybe tipping the Titans.
No truth to the rumour, although it was circulating earlier this week that Des Hasler made an SOS to you, Tristan, to get you back just because of the heavy influence you have there at the Top Sport Titans Lounge. So, and if you do have a pair of footy boots and can play in the front row, that'd be handy for Des as well because he's got some concerns from that point of view. But beyond that, yeah, no, everything going well at the Titans, Tristan.
Yeah, no, well, the good thing is they're still undefeated at the games that I've watched this year. So that's something. And we've got a really, when we do the market update for that game in particular, we want the listeners to tune in because there might be a bit of added ammo for the Titans. There might be a bit of a lucky good luck charm coming back into the side this weekend, which might give them the impetus they need.
All right. Impetus is not the only thing they need, but anyway, that's a separate story. Before we go forward, we like to go back. And, of course, if you want to enjoy more of this, you can check it out wherever it is you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. Make sure you download that, subscribe, leave a review. If you want to do that, then no problems whatsoever. But, Jared, you touched on it briefly. I'd like to touch on it at greater length. About the bets from last week, in particular the lunch bets.
Which are Jimmy? Yes, well, I'm sure you were on the Panthers at the -10.5, which never looked in doubt on Thursday night. But yes, you did get one up on me with Storm Boy finishing in front of Switzerland. And what about Gay Waterhouse? And all of the coverage of Slipper Day was outstanding, and her filly ends up coming through and winning it. And one thing which was very easy to pick up after the race, but maybe not so before, was how often does Blake Shinn ride at 54 kilos? Well, he did for the Slipper, and that was probably proved a difference in the end. And, yes, I thought a 24-4, well, it was about to be 24-4, that the Dragons may well have been the nice little upset of the weekend where they folded over very meekly, and the Cowboys won, which gave you another lunch bet, and so the lunch bet table, we have me at +3, Tristan at -1, Jimmy at -3. We're just getting into the engine room of the season, aren't we, gentlemen?
All right, what are we at with our totals there, Tristan?
Yeah, 7,812. So ticking along very nicely in my absence. But, yeah, we'll see if we can keep chipping away to get it to five figures in the next couple of weeks.
So, Jared, you know, Stormboy misses the jump and still gets it done from my perspective. And you could say that the Cowboys missed the jump and they still get it done from my perspective. So maybe something we can take out of that. But, yes, at 18-4... And then big Ray Faye Taylor Mariner drops the ball over the line. You're like, ooh. Am I a hope? Yeah, seven unanswered tries at one point from the Cowboys. So
42 points in 41 minutes, Jimmy. It was as soft as.
Yeah. What are we making of some of the things that in your absence, Tristan? There's been lots of incidents over the course of the weekend that have led to injuries, but the fact that Graham Annesley comes out on Monday, Jared, and says, hey, we don't agree with the match review committee. He should have been charged, Taylor May. You're like, what planet are we living on that the administration is unhappy with what the I know they're independent, but what they're serving up when they put them in place?
Oh, Jimmy, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing sometimes with some of these points that are being made. I understand that we want duty of care and all of those sorts of things. For mine, it was just a accidental head clash. There was no malice or intent. And then we get this call of him supposedly needing to bend over. I mean, all of a sudden, that seems to be a new focus that was pulled out of the book to try and justify the fact that they thought there should have been a charge. I actually thought Luke Patton's explanation the next day was quality. I thought it was quite reasonable and well put forward as to why there wasn't a charge. And then Annesley to shoot all of that up in flames on Monday, I don't know, Jimmy, it's just an absolute mess for mine.
So the problem with that is that one of the things that they look at, one of the three crucial criteria is risk of injury. So now they've come out with their decision. Before it was known how injured Reece Walsh was, because we all presume, oh, Reece is fine. He nearly actually went back onto the field. It was probably fortunate that he didn't, but it just feels like they've missed it completely. I'll disagree with you wholeheartedly because that memo went out last year about players shooting out of the defensive line, especially when going into back lines, and then having their duty of care to make sure that they don't hit the other player in the head. And the classic example is the one Dalfanukin did on Stephen Crichton, which at the time was like, no, Dalfanukin's just trying to lift his team, and they say, no, but you haven't taken into consideration your duty of care.
But Jimmy, did he shoot out of the line? I thought the line went up side by side.
Taylor May clearly comes out of the line. Clearly comes out of the line. All right. You bring your whistle to your question. So,
anyway. I actually used the referee, Jimmy. Did you know that? There's another podcast.
I thought in my absence you two might have had your pre-show chats and formed a relationship. But geez, it looks like you guys are as angsty as myself and Ash after spending 2 weeks together. So.
Oh dear. All right. Well, we better move forward then. The other thing that we need to talk about, and this is obviously relevant to your Titans, but certainly it feels like every team's impacted. Not only injuries, but injuries to superstar players, and you're talking over the $1 million mark. And Tristan, I don't know, you'll be able to tell us whether it has an impact on interest measured via turnover or bets placed, but it feels like, we're missing some superstars.
Oh, one of the boys when I was on the plane, he put the, as obviously I haven't been up to date as much, but I saw the list of all the players out yesterday and I almost fell off my chair when I looked at the names. And I guess what the concern is there is you know, you don't want to see injuries to any player, no matter if they're superstars or otherwise, but when you get these big guns out, the neutral interest on those games does take a bit of a hit. When you're missing your likes of Cleary and your Mitch Moseses and your Tinos, it does impact the game and obviously the quality of the game as well, which is, yeah, disappointing and amazing to see so many of them happen in such a quick succession to start the season. So it's a big concern. We'll see how things go. Obviously, some of the players are only 4 to 6 weeks, so you know it's also going to impact Origin significantly as well, you'd have to imagine, with so many of those big names out too. So, yeah, there's a lot to take in there. It's obviously very disappointing for all of the fans of the teams, the players and the neutrals alike.
Well, the other thing too, since lunchtime Monday, there's been 19-point movement across the 8 games at the line with all of these team changes. I mean, it's just the wildest of weeks we've ever seen. Another point too, you know, with Tino all of a sudden out and the Titans being so poor in both their offerings, I mean, Tristan, I think they were $14 for the spoon or something like that. All of a sudden, the shoot down to somewhere around 285 and now favourites off the back of the Tigers pulling up a win. I think there's a long way to go for, you know, the Tigers and the Dragons and obviously the Titans. But, yeah, all of this has just been all over the shop over recent days. And then on the back of that, we've got the impact to the Broncos who, you know, come off a grand final and would have been favoured in the top two of the market coming into the season, losing Haas for a period of weeks, losing Walsh for a period of weeks. Reynolds is back this week. Is he in and out moving forward? Where does that leave the Broncos into the markets, into the months ahead? All over the place.
Yeah, you're right. And as you say, the move in that Elise Wins market in particular, $17 into $275, the Titans, there's been a big change in betting. And I think we all sort of spoke about this at the start of the season, that we thought the season was a lot different to how the market perhaps looked. But I think it's probably, it has been exacerbated by the fact of the injuries as well. And then you look at the Rabbitohs and how they're travelling too. So there's obviously plenty of teams that are in a much different position to what we thought they were a month ago when the season was kicking off.
I know you nearly fell off your chair, but from what I understand, those first-class seats are very hard to fall off. So I'm glad that you're able to stay in that. So well done to you on that one, Tristan. Righto, in lieu of anything else, let's get into... and I had to fulfil your role too the last couple of weeks too, you know, giving the odds and all that sort of thing. I hope there's no demarcation dispute today, Tristan.
Not yet. I just had a missed call from the regulator, so I'll pick that up after the podcast and we'll see what that's all about.
I've got no doubt you did just receive a missed call from the regulator based on how outspoken you are at different times. But anyway, let's get to the start of round four of the National Rugby League. So we've got the Roosters taking on the Panthers, which is not all that it seems. A lot of people suggesting we might be having ourselves a grand final preview, but significant out. So let's get to them. Sammy Walker's a significant in. So he has been cleared after being initially ruled out HIA Category 1. Now he was Category 2. So he plays. Luke Keary plays after serving his 11-day concussion protocols. Lindsay Collins is out. Terrell May starts. Egan Butcher onto the bench. It's not a bad replacement for the Panthers. Obviously, Nathan Cleary is out. That's huge. Scotty Sorensen is also out. Brad Schneider in the number 7. I thought Jerome Luai might have worn the number 7 just to give Benji Marshall a look at how he goes there. Luke Garner into the starting side. And Maverick Gaia, the son of Mark, will have his NRL debut off the bench. What's the market doing on this one? I'd imagine all over the place, Tristan.
Yeah, I've just brought the book up and there's a lot of red numbers in our liability screen at the moment because the line's gone from 6.5 the Roosters and it has moved significantly out to 4.5 the Roosters minus. Looks like it got out to, 4.5. So it's moved 11 points in total. It's 159 the Roosters, 235 the Panthers, 4.5. Now it's 195 the Chooks, and there's been a little bit of support for Penrith at that line at 185. These games are so hard to work out because obviously there's been such a big move towards the Roosters on the back of Cleary predominantly being out. Does it continue to go, or will there be some market pressures now for the Panthers, knowing how good and how much depth they have? But the Roosters have started the season well as well. 40.5 has been a strong push for the unders. 42 into 40.5, and we're into $1.82 the unders as well. So lots and lots and lots of movement in this game.
Yes, after pulling it all apart, I ended up slightly wider than where the market is at the present moment with the Roosters' favourites. But a few little question marks for mine. I mean, certainly missing Collins, and they still have Lenu out significant. But their record back at Moore Park, as again they showed last week, returning there on Friday night, is outstanding at the present moment. Really put the cleaners through the Rabbitohs. Here against the Panthers, I'm sure a nice crowd coming into Easter. They'll need to aim up, though. Their record against the Panthers, they've lost their last 8 straight. But those outs, gee, they're significant. I mean, clearly Fisher, Harris and Sorensen. I think with Cleary and Fisher, Harris. And I think the other key thing is with Lenu having changed clubs, that's two big men through the middle that they really miss, and then Cleary's ability to play off the back of that. A lot of focus and pressure on Schneider, and I think he played, is it Jimmy, 11 games at the Raiders, something along those lines. I mean, he didn't ever really set the world on fire. In the lower grades, his form was good. A lot of focus and pressure on his role here. I'm with the Roosters. both defending very well. I'm not sure that we get the 40 points. The one thing the Panthers will do is roll their sleeves up, even with those outs. Defensively, we know their system's very good. The Roosters equally only conceding 12 points a game. I've got the Roosters by six, but a big watch off the back of needing to break that record.
Yeah, and you wonder what the emotional impact would have been with that game against South Sydney. And remember, that's only 6 days ago, so you can get the emotional letdown of that. And then, you know, Jared Waria Hargreaves 300th, and they stayed on the field and all of that sort of thing. I mean, I think what we'd all agree is that if there's a question mark about the Roosters side as it currently exists, it's around the halves. And Sammy Walker had a really good game against the Rabbitohs in the time that he was on the field. But Luke Keary is, I know, a three-time premiership winning player and a Clive Churchill medalist, but is probably well past that time. And then you get a head knock, and that's the last thing that Luke and the Roosters need. I'm going to go with the Roosters minus 4.5, but I don't think it's going to be as straightforward as we think. I can't help but think that, you know, combined with Cleary and Fisher-Harris, that it's just too much. One thing to watch is this back five from Penrith, who, I mean, the numbers that To'o and Tuiruva and Edwards in particular, and then the quality around Tungor and Taylor May and what they're doing is quite exceptional. So that'll be up to Schneider to make sure they see plenty of ball and get some opportunities. But I'm with the Roosters, minus 4.5.
The other key point you make there too, Jimmy, is this is the third game for the Roosters in 11 days.
Yeah, yeah, from Sunday to Friday to now back to Thursday. So that didn't seem to be an issue. Can you believe that game? I know we'll get to the Rabbitohs very shortly. Can you believe that game, that it was the team with the five-day turnaround that made the team with the eight-day turnaround look so sick? Let's get to the Rabbitohs and their changes that they've made. So, interesting. Damien Cook into the starting side. He was named in the starting side last week, so we'll have to wait and see on that one. Saliva Havili out of the 18, out of the 17 and drops to 18th man. Michael Cheekham and Shaq Mitchell in. Sean Kepi out, which doesn't really come as a surprise. Havili does. The Bulldogs have named an unchanged 17. They've done it for a couple of weeks now, gents. And the interesting part about this is, Josh Adokar, surely he was a chance of playing round two. If he was doing that, then surely he's getting very close for round four. Where's the market on this one, Tristan?
Yeah, this one's held pretty solid. It's $1.48 the Rabbitohs, $2.65 the Bulldogs, $6.50 the line. It opened at $6.50 and has stayed there. It's now $1.85 the plus and $1.95 the Rabbitohs, $41.50 the total points. So obviously the Bulldogs coming off the big win there against the Titans, and the Bunnies having a very, very tough start to the season. So on face value, to me, it seems like it's a big line, considering this is such a big traditional game at the best of times anyway. But we'll see how this one plays out. 6.5 at the moment, 185 the plus.
Well, we're just moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic, aren't we, here, with some of these changes on the back of Ilias last week. Cook starting off the bench. Well, now Cook starts. I mean, you know, all of the reasoning behind why Cook was coming off the bench sounded very sound last week. Yeah. He now starts, and Havili doesn't even make the starting 17. They're in a world of hurt at the present moment, lost 8 of their last 10. All of their attack metrics at the moment, they sit at the bottom of the table across the competition. Their run meters, their post-contact meters, their offloads. And then if we reverse it to the other side of the ball, off 3 games, they're conceding 37 points a week. And some of that was just really soft and meek last week. You'd have to expect that there's got to be some sort of improvement or response. I went looking for the Bulldogs. You know, at the line position, I thought, you know, maybe there's an opportunity here. I just worry about the depth of that form. I like some of what they did 2 weeks ago against the Sharks. I like the way that they put that game away last week. But, gee, right now the Titans' form line just does not read very strong. I'm just a really small lean to the Rabbitohs with zero confidence.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So my great concern is, having been out there at the ground and watched it last Friday, was Cameron Murray looked busted. He, 3 games into a season, he looked like it was around 23 and he just played 3 Origin matches. Like he just, and I thought to myself, wow, you got a long year ahead of you. Sure enough, he goes off training. He's got swollen knees, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's got swollen shoulders and swollen everything else because of the work that he does, completely outworks everyone else. And now you ask him to roll out again and you know, go into battle for the club. I think that's a really interesting watch with Cam Murray, how he holds up physically. And then the other one is they haven't got the worst metrics in the league. If you look at the good old Top Sport Titans, they've scored one try across two games. So at least our Sydney's a little bit better in that regard, which brings us to the Bulldogs. Very impressive against the Titans, but as we said, I think that their effort all year, three games in, has been excellent, right? And the game against the Sharks, I think they were desperately unlucky, not just to be beaten, but certainly to be beaten by that fashion, in by that number. I love the Bulldogs plus 6.5 in this one. I think that's got a whole heap of merit to it. No, nothing, no bite.
I'm with you, Jimmy. If Jared's willing to take the minus, we might have a lunch bet.
I'm happy to stay out, gentlemen. Happy to
stay
out.
Oh, what's happened, Jared?
No. I'm just picking the right ones, gentlemen. I'm not here to back losers.
No. It was a very tough weekend for him last weekend, Tristan. So, you know.
It was actually a very nice weekend last week, except for one game at Cogra.
Before I went away 2 weeks ago, a slight lean to the minus and Jimmy wanted to be on the other side would have meant a strong push for Jared. So something's happened. I'll have to do a bit of digging here in the next week.
Well, over the next week, I reckon you pull out the tapes of the Rabbitohs and watch the last three, Tristan, and I'm happy to sit on the fence. Thank you very much. And Jimmy, just on the Bulldogs' form against the Sharks, I mean, how well has that stood up?
Oh, the West Tigers were brilliant on Saturday night. Eighth one for the world, Leichhardt. Anyway, well, should be torn down.
You're just singing the praises of the Bulldogs against the Sharks.
Oh, mate, it's a very different shark side.
Oh, go on, tell me how.
Well, Nicho Hynes, version one, Nicho Hynes, version two, or should I say version three, week three. So, anyway, geez, I tell you what, are you getting enough sleep, Jared? What's going on here? You
know? It's just a rubbish form line. It's a rubbish form line. I'm staying way out of that game.
All right. Go to the Doggies. Big game on Friday night. This is the Broncos and the Cowboys. What do they call it? The 4X Challenge or anyway. Right. So where do we start? Reece Walsh out. Tristan Saylor in. Adam Reynolds returns. So Jock Madden out. Now, this was a big one. It happened yesterday. Brendan Piacura injures his ankle at training. Jaden Hunt comes into the starting line. Corey Oates onto the bench. Marty Tapau drops out to the reserves. And for the Cowboys, on the back of their big win, Zach Labor is back in and Tommy Chester is out. Then the only change to a winning team. Where's the market on this, Tristan?
Yeah, surprisingly, the market's held pretty firm from where we opened it. Obviously, a number of those outs, I suppose, were known well before Monday. But as you said, Piacura out as well. But it's $1.98, the Broncos, $1.82, the Cowboys, 1.5 is the line. So very even betting game. There's been money both ways since we've opened it, and 42.5 the total points. We've seen a bit of upward pressure on the overs, going from 41.5 to 42.5 short of the overs. So we know how tight these Broncos Cowboys games generally are. So the market's suggesting there'll be another one.
Well, a really big watch on the weather. We've had rain since Sunday, and it has not abated. It won't clear until Friday when this game is, but there's still forecast 1 to 2 millimetres into Friday. So it is a great draining ground, but I think it's still going to be damp. I mean, Eagle Farm is the best draining racetrack in Australia, and they've actually called the meeting off there today. So that's how much rain we've had across the last couple of days. Whether that slows things up here, whether that allows the Broncos to try and nullify some of that silky attack that the Cowboys have had, albeit, I think, against some weak form lines, will be very interesting. I mean, I think beating the Dragons, coming back and beating the Knights in the second half, and maybe that Dolphins game first up, doesn't stand up all that well. But you can only do what they're doing, and that is win. I think their use of the football is very good. I just worry about that defence from the Broncos. They're now leaking 24 a week after 3 weeks, which is not where they were last year. They were top two in defence. Now missing those key players, Jimmy, that left edge with Capel gone, with Farnwell gone, and now Pecora gone, I think that's where the Cowboys are going to have some joy. I certainly would love to see both Labor and Nanai anytime try scorers. I marked it really even. I thought maybe the Cowboys, if they can defend a little more strongly against this Broncos team bouncing back at home, I'm with the Cowboys, but only a small margin.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? So if you've got some concerns around the Broncos' left edge, and you know, understandably so because of those significant outs. And I presume that Jaden Hunt's going to come in there and he's going to be defending on that edge also. I've got some real concerns about the Cowboys' left edge based on what the Dragons did last week. Like that they got shredded down that side really comfortably. Some really bad decisions by Valentine Holmes, who thankfully made amends by a really spectacular attacking game. But if I'm looking at that tape and Lee Breers is, and you've got Adam Reynolds coming down there, and unfortunately it's not Reece Walsh, but it's going to be Ketone Staggs and Tristan Saylor, you're like, wow, we can do something here. So that might cancel each other out from that point of view. I think it's really interesting what happens with this dummy half situation with the Broncos. I think that's become a bit of an issue for them now, complicated by the fact that it's Billy Walters and that's Kevin Walters' son. So how does that play out? They look a little different when Tyson Smoothie comes onto the field. But I'm with you, Jared. I'll go lean to the Cowboys, but at the head-to-head, which I think $1.82 is what you mentioned, Tristan.
Yes.
All right, let's go to the Jekyll and Hyde St. George Illawarra Dragons taking on the Manly Seagulls. This one down at Wynn Stadium. So Francis Molo, Jacob Little, Jaden Sewer all back on deck. Jack DeBellin, Jesse Marschke and Ray Faitalamara to the bench. Hame Sele on the bench too, with returning from that hamstring injury. So Connor Muleson, Michael Molo and Viliami Fifita all drop out. So that is a stronger side significantly. And no change to the Seagulls. Tommy Talau is a bit of a wait and see. Ray Vaiga retains his spot on the wing. And Tofofoa Sipley is back, but can't force his way into the 17. Market on this one, Tristan.
Yeah, this one's held pretty solid as well. It's $3.20, the Dragons. $1.35 Manly. 8.5 is the line. A little bit short of the plus. We've laid the plus into $1.85 for the Dragons. 46.5 the total points. So, as you say, the Dragons have been very much Jekyll and Hyde so far this season. Manly started really well and then obviously went down there last week, but they are firm favourites here to bounce back at $1.35.
And just in passing, very interesting that Ashley Klein is refereeing this game. I would have thought this would have been the 7th or 8th billing of the weekend, and Ashley is either on rotation or on the nose. He's certainly not the top billing that he had been in previous months or late last year. I don't know if you heard that big bang about 5 minutes ago, Jimmy. That was me bashing the Dragons into the draw and they can stay there for months to come. I just thought they were incredibly disappointing when they had an opportunity last week. The plus is that they're at Wollongong here where they've won their last five. The other big plus is they get Molo, Sele and Sewer back, which they desperately need in the middle. I mean, the Cowboys' yardage last week was just so soft, a 50 or 60 or 70-metre set was just within ease. But I just really worry about their lack of resolve. In each of those last two games, when the game got a little bit tough, they just completely rolled over so meekly. The Eagles, I really like what they're doing, but I thought that was a game there to be won last week. And there's no doubt what their width, their attack and their length of field attack is, but they're still conceding 22 points a week. And I thought at 14-0, their inability to shut down the Eels' big middle play last week was really poor and in the end cost them a result. They'll be winning. I expect that they should be winning by 10 or more, but I've got a bit of a watch on Manly against some of those tougher defensive teams in the weeks to come.
Yeah, so a tougher defensive team is not the St. George Illawarra Dragons, certainly not at this point. Resilience is what Coach Shane Flanagan talked about a lot after the match. Yeah, really interesting game, that one against Manly, Parramatta, where they jumped out to the 14-0 lead and then I don't know whether it just happened, became a ploy, something other teams are going to look at, but offload, and it just put pressure under. I mean, Barlaw, Cartwright and Jermaine Hopgood can do that, so well done to them on that, but that put that Seagulls defensive line under all sorts of pressure. I don't know whether you saw it. There was I was watching it on Channel 9. At one point, they'd had 9 of the 10 sets. The previous 10 sets had the Eels. So they just got fatigued, the Seagulls, at the back end of that one. Then they got the next one, too, with a 6 again. But I expect an improved performance. There were so many good things to like about what it is that they did despite the loss. And we know what they'd done the couple of games beforehand. I'll take them at the minus 8.5, and that's out to $1.95. All right, let's go to the blockbuster on Saturday night at their Cbus Super Stadium. Some breaking news here too on the Market Watch podcast. We'll get to that very shortly. But for the Titans, obviously, Tino Fasua-Mala'awi is out. Jaden Campbell is back in, and apparently Dave Fifita, ?, he's 18th man. So as a result of Campbell being back, Keanu Keeney is out to Queensland Cup. Keenan Palacio comes into the starting side, and Joe Stimpson onto the bench. For the Dolphins, Ray Stone in, Jared Wallace out. That's the only change to the 17. And Cody Nikorima is good to go after having that week off because of the bye after picking up a head knock. Now, breaking news, Tristan.
Yeah, you missed two other ins for the Titans. They've gone for the last joker up their sleeve after a very, very tough start to the season, Tino being injured. The Merlihan girls are going to be leading the Titans out for the Dolphins, where they currently have a 100% record over 2 years. So this is the biggest news coming out, biggest positive news coming out of the Titans for the last week or so. That's seen a move in the betting, $2.20 into a $2.15 once that news was announced. $1.70 the Dolphins and 2.5 is the line. 185 the plus, 195 the minus, 45.5 the total points with a bit of upward pressure on the overs, which is surprising given the Titans have scored 4 points in two games. But hopefully, and there's plenty of weather around here as well, as we know. So, yeah, the Titans obviously a very, very tough start to the season. They'll be looking to bounce back. They're obviously going to have to pick up the load that Tino will not be there to fulfil. And hopefully Jaden Campbell back into that side provides a little bit of a spark. It wouldn't surprise me either to see Thomas Weaver come into the halfback side for Tanner Boyd, seeing he's on the extended bench there. But let's see how that one plays out.
Jimmy, it might not be hard for us to nail down that 100% record because the Titans have only won 2 of their last 12. So we just go through the diary, find those 2 wins. Ah, oh, there we are, against the Bulldogs and against the Cowboys, both at home. I think we know where it is, but it could be the magic that they need because, my goodness, they need a big sprinkle of magic right now on the back of losing Tino and conceding 28, then 32. Speaking of meekly rolling over, they were just horrible how quickly they faded last week. Maybe the coach wasn't the problem last year. Dez has his work cut out here. If Campbell plays, if David Fifita is fit to start, certainly that makes a big difference. Campbell will give them an injection of run, speed and ability to pass the football. I agree with you, Tristan, about the issues at 7 and whether Weaver's the man. Dude, they're up against it here. I thought the Dolphins, purely on just being a really simple Wayne Bennett game plan that we saw in their second game, I'm not sure that they won as comfortably as the scoreboard suggested against the Dragons, but they did get away. They get a couple of key ins here. I think they keep the game simple and make this a little bit of an arm wrestle. I think that works to their advantage. And with the Dolphins, really interesting watch on the Titans returning home and what they bring.
All right, I'm just looking at Hamiso Tabuai-Fido is $2.17 to score a try. So how was that weather up there, did you say?
Well, I think by Saturday night, there's the billing, eh? Prime time Saturday night, the Titans at home. We should end up with, a dry track at the Gold Coast, Jimmy, and it is a great draining track.
Okay, so that 220 move into 215 on the back of the Merlihan girls leading the team out. Sounds like Grandpa Lloyd has caught a bit of that early and really had a go at that. So well done on that, on reading the tea leaves. I've got no faith in the Titans whatsoever. Much more faith, although not complete faith, in the Dolphins. So I'll be taking the Dolphins -2.5 at the $1.95. You're right, Dez is. So, you know, you start thinking about it and you go, righto, really critical of Tim Sheens in the 10 years of what he did over in the UK in the lead up to his return to the West Tigers. And then you go, well, Des Hasler made the grand final in 2014, and have a look at his record for the 10 years post that. And you go, well, hang on, am I missing something here? So it's an interesting point you make, Jared. Maybe the coach was not the problem. And if it's not the coach, what is it at the Gold Coast Titans?
And Jimmy, on that point, I mean, the two things that we expected out of the Titans postseason was to be very fit, very typical of Hasler's approach, but also to have been defensively tightened up.
Yeah.
And you know, that's always been a hallmark of Des's success in the past, and we've not seen any signs of that.
No. And that's, yeah, and effort, you know, I'm not saying there's no effort, but you know, the efforts is literally not good enough. And that's a real concern for the Titans moving forward. Let's have a look at the Warriors and the Knights on Sunday. This is an interesting one. Go Media Stadium. So significant change with this. Tane Tuiapiki is out. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck will go to fullback. Had a storming game last week despite the one missed tackle. Adam Pompey into the centres. He played well there last year. Murata Neokora is back. Dylan Walker is named on the bench. And the speculation is that Wade Egan will play after that elbow injury. Leo Thompson out. Daniel Saifidi into the starting side. Brody Jones onto the bench. Jack Cogger is still the number seven. Jackson Hastings, despite the fact that he had 8 try involvements and 5 try assists in the New South Wales Cup, will play in that grade again this week. What about the market on this one, Tristan?
Yeah, this has seen a very, very strong push for the Warriors minus. It's $1.42 now. The Warriors, $2.88 the Knights, and the market's gone from 5.5 out to 7.5. And even at that 7.5, we're into $1.85 about the Warriors, $1.95 the Knights, and 40.5 the title points. So very much one-way traffic here for the Warriors to get the job done comfortably at home. And as you say, there's still plenty for Jackson to do to get himself back into this side, you would imagine.
Yeah, I think by game time, which is Sunday afternoon, Auckland time and Australian time, that line is probably 8.5. And I'm certainly keen about the Warriors here. I think I like the setup. Interesting, Jimmy, I think you made the point on Monday. You know, if we go back through that Warriors-Raiders game, you know, that was far, far closer than maybe 18-10 in the end. And there was a very crucial decision that ended up being a 12-point turnaround on the scoreboard. Instead of the Raiders actually scoring, it went the other way. The Warriors scoring at the other end. And you could see the Warriors just starting to get a little bit of belief through that second half, especially when they got in front. I still like some of the things that they were trying to do with the football. I think Metcalf's been excellent. What about Fenua Blake? The guy scores a try one every 3 games or less than that, nearly 2.5 games now. He's absolutely a try-scoring machine for such a big man. They use him so well the way they set him up on that right edge. Ford, a couple of mistakes earlier in the season. He's getting better by the week. But the big ins are the 3 that you touched on, Jimmy. I mean, if Egan plays, they are a much, much different team. Neokora coming back, Walker playing off the bench. I just like the setup here at Auckland. I haven't liked what the Knights have done. Yes, they got the breakthrough win last week. They led 14-0 at half-time off the back of 13 errors from the Storm, and yet the Storm nearly ran them down late in the game. We're all just waiting to see the Storm score that try and end up with a win. I think they've been really clunky and scratchy, and, you know, I know Ponga was better last week, but there were still patches of his game where I thought his leadership was a little bit poor. I'm with the Warriors. I thought they were the best of the week. The cover of the line, I certainly think, by at least 10.
Yeah, that game against the Raiders, so we called that one. And I won't describe it as a high-quality game, but I'd describe it as a high-quality contest. Like, everything was contested. Jordan Rapana, just phenomenal for the Raiders. But for the Warriors, they had to hang in there. They had a great crowd behind them, and they did. And that's not straightforward. And they made some errors. You know, I mentioned the Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He's just missed his man Cole and gave up a try. Then certainly made up with it with scoring the try that probably only Roger can score. But so many good contributors, with new contributors and important contributors like Egan and Neokora coming in. Tohu Harris, everyone talks about these number 13s like, you know, Isaiah Yeo and Cam Murray and Victor Radley. He is as good as anyone in the competition at the role that he plays for the Warriors. I think he's absolutely fabulous. So, yeah, I'm not sold on Newcastle yet, not at all. And Kalen had some really nice touches, but you're going to need more than that. And from everyone else too, by the way, definitely all over the Warriors minus the 7.5. Okay, this game on Sunday night, our time, down there at Shark Park, we've got the Sharkies, and haven't they lost some players, up against the Raiders. So we've got Dale Finucane, Royce Hunt, Toby Rudolph all out, added to Braden Hamlin-Ueli. So all basically middle forwards. Kyle Iroh in for CSC for Talakai, who's gone into the second row. Jack Williams back to the bench, and Daniel Atkinson and Tuku Hautapua onto the interchange for the Raiders. Corey Horsbrook can't get a spot. So Adam Oriata in, Emre Goulet out of the 17. James Schiller in to replace Albert Hopper. Albert has burned himself cooking. So all the best with that one. Seb Chris is back at centre, and Jordan Rapana to play his 200th game, as I said, in that game against the Warriors. He was spectacular. This is a very interesting game, I think, Tristan. What do you got for your market?
Yeah, I've picked up a lot of injuries in social sport, but I can guarantee I will never, ever burn myself cooking, so I'm always going to be safe there. But it's $1.57, the Sharks, $2.40, the Raiders, and 4.5 is the line. There's been some support for the Raiders, 5.5 into 4.5, 185 the plus, 195 the minus, 40.5 the total points. We always speak about the closeness of the games between the Broncos and the Cowboys, but this rivalry stems back to the final there a number of years ago between these two. It's always a high-quality game as well and a close game, so it makes me think that plus is very much in play, particularly with the number of forwards we're missing here for the Sharks.
I thought the plus was one of the better bets of the weekend. I just can't understand the market positioning here, that if you take Hamlin, Ueli, Hunt, Rudolph, Finucane, Nakora, and they're already without, Cole Coughlin, the back rower.
Calhoun.
You punch that out of this list, especially through the middle. That's four middles and two edge forwards. Adjust that rating. I mean, if they were all playing and the market's telling me that the Sharks would be, minus 12 favourites, I couldn't have that anywhere here. I thought at best this was even pick them. I think the plus 4.5 is a bit of a luxury, because what are those back seven, if not back five, going to be able to play off here for the Sharks if they're missing all of those guys through the middle? The one thing about the Raiders is we know that they've just been really simple, really smart, a lot of high completion, a lot of field position, a really smart kicking game. There's some competition for what they need through the middle at the moment. Horsburgh's now playing New South Wales Cup, so they're back at full strength, barring Hopewadi being out. I think they bring a really strong, simple game plan here that can just play with field position and, I think, dictate and win. The other key thing about the Sharks is their poor record against the Raiders. They've lost 9 of the last 10 times that they've played, and many of those at Shark Park. Certainly with the Raiders, and I thought the plus 4.5 looked very generous.
To them and through them will be the instruction of Ricky Stewart this week, isn't it? Like, that's been the fashion that they've played the first 3 weeks. The first 2 weeks they get the win. The third week they lose no admirers in the manner in which they played against the Warriors. Tarpany is back to his best. Smithies is a very accomplished player. They've got another good one out of the UK. And then the improvement that we're seeing, well, Tim McCall is a test player now, but he's near unstoppable at different stages. And I think Seb Chris is a very good player. Fogarty's kicking game is full of control, and Rapanas competes on every single thing. So there's a lot to like about the Canberra Raiders side. We all had question marks about them at the start of the year, but this goes back to the point we made about some of the other teams, like the Dragons and the Titans. Like, if you put the maximum effort in the end, ability becomes secondary. And that's what we're seeing from the Raiders. And that's what we didn't see. I reckon that's the worst performance of the Sharks in the Fitzgibbon era that we saw last week. And I reckon there was different stages of the game at the back end there that players dropped their bundle. Like, you don't often see it. Sometimes it's hard to pick up, but you're looking at the effort and you go, wow, you guys are going through the motions and you are being towed up by the team that were heavily favoured to win the wooden spoon before this game. So a really, really ordinary performance from the Sharkies. The massive turnaround for them. I love the plus 4.5 for the Raiders.
And Jimmy, just on the Raiders too, I think the other thing which, the question mark was, how did some of these young guys start to aim up and mature with their game? Smithies we didn't know a lot about. But I think the other guy that's really played very well is Sulo. I think he's getting better by the week and shows promise as a young front rower. Clearly Hosking's been a great pick up for them, but I liked, and I had a question mark about how he used him last week. I liked what he did. He gave Whitehead some time on that edge and then brought Hoskins on and then moved Whitehead around. I took the Darling Bride out for dinner last Saturday night. This was the only game I didn't watch, and I didn't go back and watch the replay because as I saw the scores coming through Leichhardt, I honestly thought I'd had too much to drink. I could not believe what was unfolding, and then I have it on very good authority that Mr. Fitzgibbon may well have left a few people with absolutely no doubt within 10 minutes of the finish of that game what he thought of what unfolded.
Yeah, not acceptable. Not acceptable for anyone. All right, let's get to the final game. This is a beauty. This is an Easter Monday game that's become very traditional now. The Eels, what do they do? Blaisdell Lungie, he's into the 5/8 position after Mitchell Moses is out with that fractured winger. Mike Acebo comes in. Bailey Simonson left in the reserve, so after he was out with concussion in round three. West Tigers make one change. Alex Twole ruled out with concussion. Asu Kepa'oa comes onto the bench, and Jaden Sullivan coming off the bench still. Aiden Caesar and Lockie Galvin in the halves. Now, both last start winners. Be very interested in this market, Tristan.
Yeah, it's been a big move, and that's obviously on the back of Mitch Moses being out for an extended period now. It opened at 12.5 this line. It's now $1.48 the Eels, $2.65 the Tigers, 6.5 is the current line. So it's moved by 6 points, 45.5 the total points. A little bit short of the overs, but certainly a lot tighter than what it opened for obvious reasons. And then the Tigers full of confidence after their big win in what's the general rivalry on an Easter Monday.
I found the Eels really difficult to try and get an accurate feel and rating on through the last couple of weeks. But I like that win. I thought it was there had a lot of merit and some quality to it. I do like the look of that Blaze Talangi, Jimmy. And they say that he played a lot of football in the halves as he came through the junior reps. And to expect him to actually handle six very well. I think Dylan Brown's been very good in recent weeks. Really interesting watch here is that these two teams are at the top of the table in offloads. And so that's one thing that was working for the Tigers last week. I guess my question mark there is, as good as it was to see them win, was how bad were the Sharks? Did that inflate that? We'll know more about that this Monday. I was probably a little bit wider than the market. I'm impressed with the attitude and the way that the Eels are playing, especially through the middle and then what they can then do off the back of their halves. Nice watch to see how the Tigers aim up here. And Tristan's right. They do normally play very well against each other. Big factor is it's at CommBank Stadium, though, because Parramatta, like the Roosters at Moore Park, do grow a leg at that home ground.
Yeah, interesting. This was always at out there on Easter Monday out at a course stadium. You get the crowd coming over from the Easter show, but I guess they're going to have to travel down the road to get to CommBank Stadium. I'm prepared to... Mitchell Moses is a very good player. Like, I think he was the leading candidate for the New South Wales number six job if you look at all the other candidates and the way that they played. However, I think his absence means Dylan Brown becomes more involved in this team. And as a result of that, I agree with you, Jared. I think he's been really good, dangerous. His ball running alone has been dangerous. But add to that some ball playing with Big Sean Lane on the outside of him and getting across to the other side of the field. So I think he can create a few problems here. And that second phase play, I know Bryce Cartwright was doing it really well, but that second phase play, and whether he plays or not, Cartwright, I think can cause a lot of problems here for the West Tigers. So I tend to agree with you. I think their performance, certainly the magnitude of their victory, is a reflection more on the Sharks than on the Tigers. Appy Coruscant was superb. Jareem Buller, leave him there for a decade if you want. Really good. They've still got lots of areas of their game that they need to fix up. I feel the Eels are much more advanced, even in the absence of Moses. So I'll go Eels -6.5. So the question was raised during the week. Given that Mitch Moses won't be there flapping his arms very early on in the game at the referee, who is it that's going to do that? Do you get Gutho to do it twice as much? Or will Dylan Brown have to fill that role as well? So that's something to keep an eye on Easter Monday. All right, Jared, you better give us your tips and your best bet, please.
Well, Jimmy, it's never too late, guys. Don't let fear hold you back. We can't seem to find a lunch bet here, but I'm with the Roosters by 8, the Rabbits by 4, the Cowboys by 4, the Eagles by 10, the Dolphins by 6, the Warriors by 12, the Raiders by 8, the Eels to finish the weekend, I thought, by 8. My best was certainly the Warriors at 8.5. If you're listening to the podcast in time, I think by Sunday afternoon, it probably gets to 8.5. And the other one I did like was the Raiders with the plus.
Tristan?
I like the Raiders.
Jared, you're going to go the Warriors in a bet. Gee whiz, what on earth has happened?
I don't know what's happened over the last 2 weeks. I'm struggling to get my head around this. So but anyway, we'll have another chat off air and see if we can work out what's happening here. But the Raiders +4.5 are my bet. I think that game should be a lot closer in the betting. I think it's going to be a very, very good game, and I'm going to take the Raiders +4.5.
All right. Well, I'm not going to go the same way, but I love the Raiders +4.5 also. So I'm going to go back to Friday. and the Bulldogs. So I'm going to put a bit of faith in the doggies and what they're doing. So my best bet will be the Bulldogs, plus 6.5 on Good Friday. And if they happen to get the win, oh, what about the heat coming the way of the South Sydney Rabbitohs and their coaching staff? Dear, oh dear. Anyway, we'll wait and see.
I don't think he gets to round 14, Jimmy. It may be brought forward.
Well, if they lose to the Doggies, watch this space. I happen to be sitting next to the private box of the South Sydney Rabbitohs directors on Friday night. Little somber, that room, at the time, so understandably so.
I can say on the same subject, Jimmy, that everybody will deny it because it'll be a matter of your people talking to my people, but there is no doubt from a good authority that the Rabbitohs Brain Trust have started to look at fullback positions if JD is not the coach.
Well, in fairness, based on what we've seen over the last 16 weeks, right, the last 12 games last week and the first or three games, 15 weeks, then you'd be derelict in your duty if you weren't.
So, 100%.
Yeah, so telling as few people as possible, that's the key to that one. Righto, let's go racing. Jared, where are you taking us this week?
I love this racing in Sydney at the present moment. Interesting, we're going into Easter and we haven't had a lot of rain yet. It normally does rain through Easter and the racing carnival, but I thought Rose Hill Race 5, number one, for the Ma used to stay. Well, gets Jamie Carr on board, who's riding beautifully at the present moment. Ruthless Dame, Race 5, number one. I'm not sure, Tristan, if any market's up yet, but maybe around the mid-fours.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the we're only recording this early on a lunchtime on a Wednesday, so the market should be out a little bit later. What I'll do is I'll put it on top fluctuation, so you get the best price that's bet there on the day. So we'll, but beautiful. I think it's going to be around that price that you indicate. There's some good racing. I think we've got three Group Ones on the weekend, two in Sydney and then one in Melbourne. Mr. Brightside just went under last start. It's the $2.20 favourite in the race. Pride of Jenny, after it produced the upset, it's $2.90. So that looks a really, really good race in the Australian Cup as well. I'm going to take us, though, to the race prior at Flemington, race 7, number 2. I am unstoppable at $4. I think it's going to be very, very hard to beat in the Sunlight Classic. That's at the $4.
Just on that top fluck, do I get access to that or is that just Jared?
No, Jared and I just need to lift his spirits a little bit this week, so I've put it on for him after the angst that I've seen over the last couple of half an hour or so.
No, it's a very good point, so well spotted on that one. I'm going to go to Rose Hill. Race Hill, race 9, number 17, another Will. So the market that the bit of form that Tracy's given me, dynamic horse, huge upward spiral, trialled great in Sydney way of going, and so it looks to continue that Melbourne form and then step up for the Doncaster Mile. What any indicative pricing around that one, Tristan?
No, well, again, that one is not quite priced just yet, and we're looking like Jamie Carr's going to have a big day if we're successful here. So what I'll do is a special once-off for you, Jimmy. I'll give you the top fluctuation as well.
Mate, you must have had a good holiday. You've come back and I've never heard you so generous.
Jeez, Jimmy, you really stepped out of your crease. I think another Will will probably be all of about $2.40.
Jared, winners, mate. Now, you know, you're going to tip me into the Warriors minus 7.5 at $1.85, and I'm supposed to cheer like that, am I?
And just like I tipped you into the Panthers at the minus 10.5 last week, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, I got the Seagulls at $2. I can't believe I'm still waiting for them to win.
Yeah, surely, how did that work out for you?
Surely Tom Trbojevic scores the try, they win the game. But anyway, he did score the try. But
you mean Cola?
Kohler scored it, yeah, from the Tom Trbojevic break. But anyway,
if Kohler had been declared that try, I'd be in Hawaii right now because I had a Tom Trbojevic, all up Mr. Garrick, all up Mr. Kohler, and I was running around the lounge room as Mr. Kohler put the ball down to then watch the video referee call it back.
Yeah, running around. Come on, Jared, walking stiff in. Let's not get carried away.
Oh, come on, Jimmy. I thought we were friends.
Well, all right, gentlemen. I think as I say, hang on just a minute. Slay the fatted calf. The prodigal son has returned. There we go. We throw a party. Good on you, boys. Enjoy your weekend. And good luck to the Merlehan girls on Saturday night maintaining that winning record.
Thank you. And I'll try to broker a bit of a peace deal between you two over the next 6 or 7 days before we're back next week. We'll
See you, gentlemen.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com.